I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. Joining me here on a Friday is Jeremiah Jensen.
You didn't trade me, Cleon. I'm still here.
I did not trade you. No.
Okay.
You're the most faithful of all of our co-hosts here.
Well, you probably didn't find a better deal out there. I'm sure you wanted to find a better podcast partner, but the numbers just didn't add up. And
I don't even want to think about what the people think of me. So, but I guess I'm kind
of
I'm kind of the owner of the podcast.
There you go.
No, that's not true. Actually, KSL is the owner of the podcast. Hey, by the way, thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing, all that other stuff. So, thanks for listening to the podcast. It's the day after the NBA trade deadline. But before we get into this, I think this is appropriate. Danny Ainge talked today about Kyrie Irving and how people thought when Kyrie said that that he wanted to play for the Celtics. That the Celtics and he were getting married. You know, that it was going to be a white wedding. But Danny Ainge clarified today saying, you know what, it's not a white wedding. No, we're just still part of the engagement process. So
getting a little ahead of himself
They're still dating each other. Thanks a lot for white wedding there from Billy Idol. I don't know why I played that one. But anyway, so that brings us to our topic today of du jour. Most everyone has heard or has feelings about whether the Jazz should have traded for someone or not. Real quickly, Jeremiah, let's hear your thoughts. I'll give my thoughts, and they will be brief because I think that we kind of need to move forward and see how this fares going forward, not just for the team, but for the players, how they're going to play now that they haven't been traded.
Absolutely. I think the Jazz were aggressive at the trade deadline. I think they were looking to add a player. We know who that player was. It was Mike Conley. And we know that there was an offer made, and that offer wasn't enough for Memphis to pull the trigger. And so I like the fact that the Jazz were aggressive. Dennis Lindsay was aggressive in trying to improve this roster and add a player that they perhaps thought could take them to another level. It didn't work out. So now you have an issue, which is I think what we're going to discuss in length, is now that the trade didn't happen, even though a lot of this stuff became public, how do you handle that with the players that were discussed in the deal that never happened?
Were you surprised that it didn't go down? And are you, I'm not going to say happy, but because I think that Mike Conley makes this team better, but I think it's kind of a short-term solution. That's my opinion.
Well, sure, you're looking at a player that's 31 years old. There is an injury history there. I mean, it's not like, I don't think it's a major injury history. I think Mike Conley is still one of the best point guards in the league. I think he's a top 10 point guard. And he averages 20 points a game, 6 assists per game, and he's almost a 40% three-point shooter. So do you want to add that kind of a player to your roster? Absolutely, especially, to be honest. And this is, I think, why this was the deal that they were looking at, is because Ricky Rubio isn't giving you that kind of production. So it would have been an upgrade at that position. But it's $30 million a year owed for the next 2 years after this year. That's a lot of money. It's actually more than that. It was $67 million after this year that you're committed to paying a player that's getting older and older. There are certainly reasons why Mike Conley didn't draw a lot of offers at the trade deadline from a lot of teams around the league, because trust me, his reputation around the league is sterling. He's He's got Jazz DNA, as Dennis Lindsay would say. He'd be a perfect addition to any team, but especially the Jazz. The reason why there wasn't so many offers and why Memphis, I think, kept him is because they didn't get enough value back in return for a player that caliber. But I think they're going to struggle to get that because of how much money he was owed. So Memphis stays put. The Jazz didn't make any moves. And you move on. But Mike Conley would have been a great addition for the Utah Jazz. He would have made them better. But it didn't happen. And now the Jazz try to move forward with the roster that they have.
And I would probably say, you're right. The Jazz would have given up, in my opinion, too much to get one player. And he would have been fantastic, but I have other feelings about that. I still think Donovan Mitchell eventually should be the lead guard on this team, and that you can go out and find a wing that can kind of replace him being on the wing a little bit more. But I just think that there was too much to give up for what you were going to get returned. You were going to get a good player in return, but that's given up a lot, and he's going to take up $30 million of your salary. He's one of those guys, Jeremiah, and maybe you agree with me on this or not, but he's one of those guys that's going to help your team out. But he's not that player that you're going to bring in and you're say, okay, now we've made it. Because I don't think that is. I think you still have to make another deal to say, okay, now we've made it. Now we're in the realm of possibility of being a Western Conference finalist or maybe even an NBA finalist there.
Well, that's a great topic to debate is if you have Donovan Mitchell, and you have Rudy Gobert, and you have Mike Conley, where do you stand among the league's elite with that threesome, along with the different pieces that you have on the roster after you make that move? How much better are you? Are you now a contender? Those are questions that would be interesting to debate. You could get out the numbers. You could look at the analytics. You could just, from your own opinion, you can look at it and say, well, would it be worth it pulling the trigger on that kind of a deal? How much better would it make the Jazz? And I think that you have to get to a certain point where you're giving up too much in order to what you're getting back in return. And perhaps that's what Dennis Lindsay felt, is he couldn't part with a Dante Exum in order to make this happen. Or he couldn't part with something else or too many draft picks. He didn't want to mortgage the future of the franchise for this one piece because perhaps it doesn't take you to that elite level. I don't know. We'll never know. And maybe they revisit this in the offseason. Who knows? There's an impatience in this business among general managers, among players, among fans. And I think that's why there maybe is some frustration in Jazz Nation that nothing happened at the deadline. That the team, even though they already added Kyle Korver earlier in the year, you could look at that as a mid-season acquisition, which was a great one. But there's always this feeling that they need to have your team has to do something before the deal, or they're not trying to win, or we're not getting better, we're not this and that. Well, sometimes the best deals, you hear this cliche all the time, but it's true, is sometimes the best deal you make is the one you didn't make. And we'll see, maybe perhaps that's the case. Maybe something better will come along this summer. And this summer's got a lot of free agents, and this summer's got a lot of teams with a lot of flexibility. And there's also going to be a lot of teams that want to get rid of salary, so there's a lot of things that can happen this summer. So just because something didn't happen at the trade deadline is not a disaster. It's not a catastrophe, in my opinion. I think the Jazz are going to be okay. We'll see what they can do in the offseason. Now, if they don't improve the team in the offseason, then we can take some people to task.
Taking the marriage analogy that we had at the top a little bit further here, Jeremiah, you could say that Ricky Rubio was married to the Utah Jazz. It looked like a beautiful marriage. It looked like a beautiful relationship. Everyone on the team likes him. He gets along with everyone on the team, but it looked like the Jazz were kind of, because of media reports, it looked like the Jazz were trying to cheat. So I wanted to talk about Ricky, Derek Favors, Dante Exum. How are these guys now going to process that their names were in trade talks, and where do they go from here? Let's start out with Ricky Rubio at practice earlier today. Why don't you set this up? At practice earlier today, Ricky talked about staying with the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, so during the trade deadline, Ricky was incredible on Twitter. If you weren't following along, he had some great lines. Something like Joe Ingles and him had a cup of coffee, according to league sources. I mean, he was having a lot of fun with this. And then when the trade didn't happen, he had a friend's gift with it was just fun. So he was having a lot of fun on social media at the situation, trying to, obviously in his way, try to deal with the stress and the frustration that can come with knowing that you are on the trade block. Well, we found out today that it wasn't that much fun for Ricky to actually go through it. And he explains here just how difficult it was yesterday, having to deal with the pressure and the rumors that he could be on his way out.
It wasn't fun at all, but if you don't have fun, it's tough moments. It's not fun. So Do I like it? No, I hate it. It is what it is. Move on, it passed, and keep playing. We love each other here, and they show it me yesterday. We show it to Faves too, and it seems sometimes upstairs they don't feel like the chemistry matters, and sometimes matters more than anything.
All right, guys. Anything about the Spurs?
So, yeah, I don't know if you could hear that at the end because it was a little quiet. But,
yeah.
Hey, anything about tomorrow's game versus the Spurs?
Just trying to change the subject there because, I don't know that he was specifically criticizing Dennis Lindsay. Perhaps it was just an overall the dynamic between the front office and the players and that kind of thing. But interesting thoughts from Ricky Rubio today after, you know, what was surely a really difficult situation. I mean, it's got to be hard as a professional athlete who plays at a high level like this in the NBA, for there to be an obvious gesture or to make it obvious that the team believes that they can go out and find somebody that they think is better than you. That's got to be really tough to take for these guys who have a big ego. And there is something to say about this team's chemistry. I think that's kind of tough. The day before the trade deadline, Ricky Rubio went to Huntsman Cancer Institute, and which he has done several times. He's very involved with the work up there, which is unbelievable, and Ricky deserves so much credit for what he does off the court and some of the great things he's doing up there and in our community. And I tweeted out some photos from that. The Huntsman Cancer Institute was kind enough to allow me to share that with people on Twitter and on social media. And the reaction I got from fans was just overwhelmingly supportive of Ricky and hoping he wasn't going to get traded and just sharing so much love and support with him. But there are obviously were some others but say he's awesome. It's too bad he's not better at basketball. You know, I mean, that's kind of the tough reality you have in these situations. And I think that's why it's so tough for a general manager. And this is why they get paid the big bucks to do these things and make these decisions. And they're rewarded and they're praised for doing a great job. But there's some tough things they have to do. It's a business. It's a cold business, and it's tough. And there's been many moments and a lot of look what the Grizzlies had to do. They had to part with Marc Gasol. He basically grew up in Memphis and has been with that team his entire career, and they had to say goodbye to him yesterday because they knew it was in the best interest of their franchise to move on, and it was probably in the best interest of him to move on and play for a contender. That's tough. This is real tough stuff that these guys have to do and deal with. These players are human too. Ricky Rubio's a human being. He's a great basketball player. But, I mean, outside of LeBron James, how many guys are untouchable in this league? You know, maybe Kevin Durant's untouchable. There's a very small amount. I mean, I'm looking at some of the best players in the league. Kawhi Leonard has been traded recently. Jimmy Butler's been traded multiple times. Tobias Harris was just traded at the deadline. He was a borderline all-star. Nobody's untouchable in this league except for maybe the top five players in the league. Steph Curry. I'll throw out that name as well.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's probably
Giannis,
in there too.
I can't imagine the Bucks having to trade Giannis,
yeah.
but look what Anthony Davis is, a top five player, and he wants out, and the Pelicans are in a situation where they're going to have to trade him. It goes all the way back to like Carmelo Anthony with the Nuggets and Deron Williams with the Jazz. Like, all these elite players eventually are going to get moved, and so it's just reality that's going to happen. So sometimes feelings can't get in the way of business, and it's just the reality of it. Fans love certain players, but a GM's got to look at it from a logical standpoint and an analytical standpoint in order to do their job to make a team better. So the downside of that is sometimes you're going to hurt some feelings of a player on your team. And, I mean, Ricky Rubio's probably upset about it. But I don't blame him one bit, and I don't blame the Jazz one bit for trying to improve their roster. This is the dynamic that exists in the NBA, and you hope it doesn't have a negative impact on this team moving forward. I don't think it does. Derek Favors is a good example of that. Now turning to Derek Favors, this morning, he was asked about it. He says, I've been through this before. It's no big deal. I understand it. I get it. This is a veteran that's been traded before, and he's been on the trade block multiple times with the Jazz. Hasn't been moved yet, but he's been mentioned in trade rumors over and over and over again because he's kind of in that player that's kind of in the tween where he's not starting at center for the Jazz. He's good enough to start for a lot of teams in the league, and he's got tremendous value. And maybe there's a better situation out there for him from a playing standpoint, but he's found a home here, and so there's a lot of attachment emotionally between fans and Derek, and probably Derek and Utah, which is awesome. But this is a business, and eventually that time's going to end, and you have to go somewhere else, whether it's via trade or retirement or getting waived, whatever it might be. And this is just another reminder of that.
I think before the season, we kind of talked about what would the Jazz do next offseason, because they really didn't do a lot this whole. They kept the team together, made a few minor deals, drafted. You know, that was pretty much it. And so I think we had thought at one time that the Jazz would probably sign Ricky Rubio next offseason to come back and play again. We're now halfway through this season, and he's been in trade talks. I'm not sure I feel the same way now. I think Ricky Rubio is probably on his way out, because the Jazz are going to either go in a different direction, or he's going to say, listen, I know you guys want me and I love this team, but if you're looking to upgrade and I'm not that upgrade, then I should probably go find a better situation.
That could happen, and that's the reality of this business. And like you, last year, you're excited to have him here, and you know, 2 years later, he could be gone. You just don't know what's going to happen. It could be this summer that the Jazz go out on the market and they try to find somebody. Maybe they try to another trade again for Conley, or they find a free agent that they like and they want to talk to, but maybe it doesn't work out, and all of a sudden Ricky Rubio is the best point guard on the market. Maybe they bring Ricky back. But, I mean, it's clear that they're looking for improvement in that position. And statistically, you look at it, and they need improvement in that position. It's just a reality. And you try to put feelings aside. I love Ricky Rubio. I think he's a tremendous human being. But then you have to look at the statistical part of it, and you say, yeah, the Jazz could improve that position with maybe this person or this person. You have to look at those things. You have to be that's the business side of it. You have to be logical about it. And so, yeah, but it's tough to sit there and watch a human being this morning clearly hurt by the situation, but he's got to be a pro and move on. So you do wonder deep down, how does that impact this team moving forward emotionally? Because one of the best things about this team is that closeness, that chemistry that they have, the love and support that they have, loving to play with each other, and they're probably not better on paper than the Oklahoma City Thunder, but they beat them last year because they played better together as a team. So you hope that that doesn't break up, or that doesn't have an issue if Ricky maybe has some hard feelings towards. Hard feelings maybe even be a little bit too harsh, or maybe some insecurity with how he was dealt with at the trade deadline moving forward. We're all human beings. That can happen. If my employer was out shopping around for a new sports anchor, man, that would be really tough for me to handle. And if they decided they weren't going to bring any of them in and just stick with me, I'd be like, well, okay. You know,
thanks.
I guess you like me, but not very much. If you're trying to go find somebody to replace me,
I better look for a new job.
Right. So what? Exactly. We're all human. Put yourself in the same position of these players. It's tough. Yes, they get paid a lot of money, no doubt about it. But they are human beings too, and emotionally, mentally, as a player, you've got to put a lot of that aside in order for the benefit of the team, and also for the benefit of you to move forward. So it's. And I think that's where we're at in this conversation, is how do the Jazz kind of move past this deadline stuff and move forward with the last 30 or so games of the season and try to make a playoff push and repeat what they did last year. It's going to be really fascinating to watch that develop.
I do want to talk about that. I don't think I can add any more about Derek Favors. I think you hit it perfectly. I think we've talked enough about Ricky Rubio. Let's talk about Dante Exum, because it seems, at least from reports out there, that was kind of the breaking point for the Jazz. It could have been something else, but that was one of the breaking points. The Jazz really didn't want to give up Dante Exum. I said this in a podcast earlier this week. I said, you know, I think that's got to mean a lot to Dante. They are showing that they believe in him. Yeah, he's had injury problems, but the Jazz seem to be saying, no, we want to keep him around. We see something there that maybe some other people see, but we see it every day. We see something there that this kid is special. Maybe he's not starter special, but he's something special, and he could be a starter. I don't know if he's ever going to become an all-star or a super. He's not going to become a superstar. Not probably an all-star. He may not even become a starter, but he means something to this team, and so it's got to mean something to him that they want to keep him around.
They still believe that he is not even come close to reaching his potential. You feel that way, and I think based on what we've seen, you could come up with that conclusion. I think they think that he has a very bright future ahead. Now, how bright is that? I don't know, but I think they like him enough that they gave him a 3-year contract when they were bidding against themselves. I think that was a great show of faith in Dante, that they showed him that they believe in him. They didn't need to give him 3 years at that amount. And now you're in a situation where you can go out and try to get Mike Conley. And maybe throwing Dante Exum in there might have been the way for you to finish that deal. We don't know. We're speculating. But if that was the thing and they said no, again, that's another a showing from the front office to Dante Exum. We believe in you. We know how good you are. And then Quinn can turn around and be tough on him every day in practice and in games, and they can keep him on the bench and try to help him to develop and learn some tough lessons along that way. They believe in Dante Exum, and that is clear. It's been frustrating for not only for fans and everybody following the team, but for Dante himself that he hasn't been on the court more to try to get to that point where he realizes that potential. But he's still really young. I mean, he's 23 years old. He still hasn't played a lot of games due to the injuries, and we're waiting for him to get back from an injury right now. But just before the injury, we're starting to see a really big burst from him. Every time he seems to be getting close to getting over the hump, something like that happens. It's unfortunate. 2 weeks from now, I think he'll be back, and we're going to see in this last stretch of the season where he's at and where he can get them and how much he can help in the playoffs. I know there's a matchup with Houston that we saw the other day where they really could have used Dante against Houston because he plays really well against them. He's a matchup nightmare for them. They didn't have him, and so you see the value there. That's just one thing that's been pointed out to me is in that matchup, they really need somebody like Dante Exum. Dante's actually matches up really well with the Warriors as well. So some of these potential playoff matchups, they could really use Dante, and we'll see where he is. But to answer your question, the Jazz valued Dante highly, and they've shown it over and over again in these instances when maybe other teams wouldn't have done the same things with the contract or done the same things at a trade deadline. They love him and they want him to stay here.
At the beginning of the season, we talked about the Jazz had a decent chance if things all kind of broke right and they were going to be one of the better teams in the Western Conference. And I still think they are one of the better teams in the Western Conference. They could possibly make it to the Western Conference Finals. I think it's more likely now as we've kind of watched this team, you'd probably say, I think this team can make it to the second round of the playoffs. I'm not sure they're making it to the Western Conference Finals.
No.
So my question is, do you feel that way? Do you feel that they can at least make it to the second round? Do you think that they can get out of the first round and at least get to the second round? Because I still think that would be actually a decent thing. I know Jazz fans may say, oh, come on, it's the third straight year in a row. Some of them may say that. Some may be really happy, but some may say it's the third straight year in a row that they've made it to the second round. They haven't gotten any farther. But I think relatively speaking, how this season has gone, I think that actually would still be a pretty decent accomplishment for this team.
I think so. Well, getting to the second round, getting to the semifinals in the Western Conference is not easy to do. Look at the teams in the Western Conference. I mean, so if we're going to go 1-8, I think it really depends on the Jazz matchup. So last year, they matched up with Oklahoma City. They're able to steal game 2 on the road, stole home court advantage, and Oklahoma City had an injury to one of their best defenders, and they had Carmelo, and that whole thing didn't work out for them. Oklahoma City is a completely different team this year. I don't know if I like that matchup as much, but right now, as of today, that's who they'd match up with.
Denver's a completely different team.
Denver is a different beast entirely. Denver has taken the next step. They've added some talent. They look legit. Barring injury, I think they're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs. We saw that in that game a couple weeks ago when Denver came here and the Jazz beat them at home, but that was a battle. And that's a potential playoff series there. Maybe a 2-7 if the Jazz end up 7th, and that's not crazy. That could happen. The Jazz schedule, by the way, is very favorable moving forward. I could see them landing as high as 5th. I don't know if they can get up to 4. I think they're, I don't know. You never know in the West, but everybody's going to be winning. So climbing, just like last year, is going to be really tough to do. So I think you have to be realistic about where they're at right now and where they can get. Who knows? But you start looking at some of these first-round matchups. Let's say, for instance, they get to 5 and they have a 4-5 matchup and Portland is the team they're playing and Portland has the home court advantage. Who do you like in that situation?
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be a tremendous accomplishment to beat Portland?
Yeah, it would.
Without home court advantage and make it to the second round? So for you to say that wasn't a move forward for the franchise, I think that would be a little ridiculous because that would be a tremendous win, even though this Portland group has had trouble lately in the playoffs last year.
Hey, they got Rodney Hood, too.
And you know, what did he do last night? He looked terrific. So that was a nice, sneaky pickup for the Portland Trail Blazers, a team that didn't have a lot of flexibility to go out and get a lot of guys. So Portland's a beast. So I mentioned basically, obviously the Warriors are going to win the whole thing. So it's not even worth bringing them up. But, I mean, those are the potential first-round playoff matchups, right? Denver, Oklahoma City, or Portland's probably the most realistic. Maybe the Rockets, if it turns out to be a 4-5 with the Jazz and the Rockets, or a 3-6, who knows what the Rockets do with their injury situation. I think that's the most realistic, though, is playing some of those teams without home court advantage. So to answer your question, or then where this conversation is going, I think reaching the semifinals this year would be a huge accomplishment. And if you're able to get in a matchup with you're playing Denver in the Western Conference semifinals, maybe the Jazz could find a way against that team. The only team I think the Jazz couldn't beat in the series is the Warriors. I just don't think they have the firepower yet. And if the Rockets get healthy with Capella, I still don't know if I would favor the Jazz in that matchup. But Denver would be new to the playoffs. Maybe they could get them. Portland would be a toss-up. And Oklahoma City, it's just an interesting dynamic between these two teams. But I don't know that the Jazz would be favored in any of those playoff matchups. So it would be quite an accomplishment for the Jazz to get to the second round.
You know, I wanted to talk about the offseason, but I think we've got a long time to talk about the offseason. I don't think we need to talk about that right now, like who they need to get or anything like that. Let me throw one. Okay. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
You might have mentioned the offseason, and we don't have time to go into it, but quickly I'll throw out potential free agents that the Jazz might be interested in the summer. Okay,
that's fine.
You're not getting Kawhi Leonard, right?
No.
You're not getting Jimmy Butler?
No, but he could be available.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a match.
Not a match made in heaven.
Kyrie Irving, not going to happen. Klay Thompson is going to play with the Warriors. Kevin Durant's headed to New York.
Kemba Walker's a free agent
who's probably looking for new surroundings, but you've already got Donovan Mitchell. I think that's redundant. Tobias Harris. Now, I've been telling people I think Tobias Harris would be a Jazz target in the offseason. He'd be a perfect addition to play the stretch four, even a little bit of three. But now all of a sudden with the dynamic of going to the Sixers and all that the Sixers gave up and the Sixers can outbid the Jazz, I don't think that's going to happen now. So that's a big loss for the Jazz in the offseason. I don't think Tobias Harris is going to be an option. D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's an all-star now.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
He's an all-star in the East.
No, I don't want D'Angelo Russell.
So you're not going
for
Marc Gasol, right?
No, because you've already got Rudy Gobert.
Okay,
so
Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, he's going to
be a free agent, but he's probably going to end up with
Dallas,
right?
He's probably going to stick with Dallas.
Okay,
yeah.
Chris Middleton?
Probably not. I would say no, just because I think Milwaukee is going to make a deep playoff run. I don't know if they're going to make the finals.
Milwaukee looks primed to do something special.
I think they're at least making the Eastern Conference Finals. They look good. And if he likes it there and if Giannis is showing him lots of love, why would you want to leave?
And if they're going to pay him.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can pay him the most. And by launch, you know, they decided that they wanted Chris Middleton over Jabari, and that ship has sailed. So I'd have a hard time thinking that the Jazz could pry Middleton away from Milwaukee in the offseason, even though Chris Middleton will be an unrestricted free agent. DeMarcus Cousins isn't coming here. And another notable one I've seen out there is Nikola Vukovic of the Orlando Magic. That's the name out there. I don't know. But I guess my point being is as we enter this offseason, there's not a lot of realistic big-time opportunities here in free agency. So, again, you're going to go into a summer where who are you going to go out? Who's that big difference maker you're going to go out and get? You can't outbid the Sixers for Tobias Harris, and he's going to get max money. So who's that big difference maker the Jazz are going to add this summer? I don't know if it's going to happen in free agency.
It's probably going to happen through a trade. I think that's what I would say.
I went through a list of 12 guys, and these are the top 12 free agents this summer, and it's basically a no on every one for the
Jazz. D'Angelo Russell's number in the top 12?
He's an all-star. He has had a total rebirth. He plays for Brooklyn. No one pays attention to it. He's averaging 20-something a game, and he's an all-star. He was an injury replacement, but he's an all-star.
I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. Okay. I'm not buying into it. But I agree with you. I don't see any one of those. I mean, the one who might be the most gettable is one we've talked about before, and you said wouldn't be a fit, and I don't think he'd be a fit here, and that's Jimmy Butler. I think he might be the odd man out in Philadelphia of those two free agents right there. Mm. They may say to Tobias, we'd rather keep you because of, you know, we need some shooting. Jimmy's got a volatile temper, and I mean,
clearly,
he's got a temper.
How many teams has he played for?
Yeah,
lately?
Exactly. He's not the most sane guy, it seems like, in the world at times. So would you want that on your team? In some ways, you'd say yes, but the two things working against it, his personality, and I think the second thing is how much money do you want to pay that guy, especially when he's about to turn 30? So a lot of
tough questions moving forward for the Utah Jazz that we don't have time to answer right now, but just something for everybody to think about as we move ahead.
I think what the Jazz need to do is Rodney Hood is going to be a free agent too. Just sign him back. Yeah, that's all. No, it's not going to solve everything. The last thing I wanted to say is let's circle back to the Memphis Grizzlies one more time. The Memphis Grizzlies of a few years ago, I can't remember exactly what, I could say 5 years ago, okay?
Sure.
Memphis Grizzlies of 5 years ago were a fun team. Yes, I've griped about how grit and grind is hard to watch, but they are effective and they were able to do a lot of good things. But they were never able to get over the hump. And that's what I don't want to see with this Utah Jazz team. I want to be able to see them get over the hump and be that small market franchise that can make good and be a good team. You've seen it with the San Antonio Spurs. You're kind of seeing it right now with the Milwaukee Bucks, too. Mm-hmm. You'd like to see it happen with the Utah Jazz and not just have everyone gravitate towards Los Angeles or New York or Golden State, at least right now. You'd like to see a team like the Utah Jazz be able to pull this off, but I don't think it's going to happen unless they make a trade. But what are they going to give up, and what are they going to get in return? And they definitely didn't like what they were going to get in return for Mike Conley.
Got a lot of tough questions to answer moving forward for this franchise, but they've made some good moves in the past, and you do have two cornerstones in Donovan and Rudy. How do you add to that, and how do you do it? That's going to be the question that Dennis Lindsay has to answer moving forward.
Exactly. Enjoy this podcast this weekend, and Jazz taking on the San Antonio Spurs. We'll be back next week with more of the Jazz Notes podcast. For Jeremiah Jensen, I'm Cleon Wall. We'll talk to you soon.